Morning. Welcome each one to this part of the service. We've heard a lot of good things already, and I trust that we can carry those with us. I would like to turn this morning to Colossians 3, fully realizing that this chapter is probably the most read chapter for any reason in our services there. It's a beautiful chapter of Christian living, of Christian walk, and it's a companion chapter to our chapter that we studied for our Sunday school this morning. Another translation uses the word since instead of that first word if, and I'd like to just substitute that one this morning. Since ye have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I'd like to just stop there and think about what the writer was saying here to the church at Colossae. He had a lot of good things to say about them to them. And this is an instruction on how it is to live in Christ. And this morning in our Sunday school, we had one of the verses that said, see that you walk circumspectly. And one of our men gave the thought that it's like a cat walking on a picket fence where every single step is important. And it's a narrow edge. But, you know, like Jared shared this morning in the devotional, that God doesn't ask us to do things that are impossible to do without his strength, or in his strength, should put it that way. Maybe impossible to do without his strength, but not. So we're not asked to do anything that's impossible. It's just to do it, do what he asked us to, and to do it purposefully. Now, I was tremendously blessed over the funeral of my mother here a few weeks ago. And I'm not going to try to mention everything because I know I'll miss something. But the culture that evolved in funerals in our congregation is commendable. And for a lot of things, excuse me, I hope I can do this without getting over emotional, but just direct. You know, my dad was a funeral director for a long time, and he loved he didn't love them, but he really did not want anything different for his burial than to have the rough box that he had done so, that he had helped do many times. And so I think Dad might have been the last one that was buried in a wooden rough box. I don't know if there was any since then or not. He did not appreciate these new plastic vaults. And we honored him. He's buried there with that in that rough box, but beside him is Mom in a plastic vault. That sealed, that gives me actually a much better feeling I know that's not important, but the thing that I think is important is the care that was exemplified by so many of you, actually all of you. It's just some of you I saw in the front and some of you were working behind. But there was a lot of thought in everything, with the directors, with the ministry, with the food committee, with the ones that prepared the casket, with the ones that dug the grave and prepared that site. You know, there was so much involved that I didn't have to get involved in, that, you know, it was really, really a blessing to me. And it's something that our church has grown in. It just amazes me, really, when I think about it. But this is not something that just happened. It was something that was intentional, and it was walking this line circumspectly where every step counts. And the outworking of that was that there was a tremendous amount of love that was showed in that. One of the things that impresses me in the New Covenant age is that God had said in the Old Testament, and the Hebrew writer repeats it twice in the New Testament, that the New Covenant is not going to be like the Old, where it's written in the tables of stone, but it's going to be written in their heart. And by implication, it means that people are going to do this voluntarily. Now, I don't know if anybody balked at helping for food preparation. We have a huge family, and food poured in, not just for mealtime, but for snack times, for breakfast, and all those things. They were just all covered. And it felt like you were just an outpouring of voluntary. But I would much rather eat a cold bologna sandwich than a grilled hamburger if it's not done voluntarily. And I think God is the same way. He would much rather, he doesn't want something that isn't voluntary. And so, you know, that coming together of building that culture in a voluntary way, in a spontaneous way, the end result was really, really beautiful. And the time that was given there, and appreciate that so much. But I think it also is a lesson on how culture is built, on things that are important, on things that really matter. It's done with filling that need and filling that place. And when we're talking about Christian life, it's everything. Everything matters. And it starts with our attitude. It starts with the things that we're thankful for. It goes on to the things that we do and the things that we, and it's the way that we are. It's the way that we live. So everything matters in the Christian life. There were some things that were different about Mom's funeral. One of the things was having it in the evening instead of in the daytime. In the morning, and we had done that once before. We didn't get any pushback of saying, well, this might set a wrong precedent, and I don't really want to go to having funerals in the evening every time. But this time it worked, and I know it's more work for the food committee and all this kind of thing, and I, you know, really hesitate to promote that. I'm not promoting it, but it worked well, because it worked best for the family, and that's what it seemed like was going. I didn't feel any resentment or anything like that, or saying that, you know, do it our way or find another way to do it. I just didn't feel any of that, and it was a great testimony of community, caring and love, and I know that there was so much work behind the scenes that I can't mention it all. But in all of that, It was things that were learned. And so as we go through life in church, I think there are things that we can learn from these kind of things, that we meet the present need, that we do like this chapter says, to keep Christ center. If since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I'm going to finish by reading the rest of the chapter. Verse 7. In the which also ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, filthy blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Just like to repeat verses 23 and 24. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And that's intended for all that serve the Lord with a free and voluntary heart. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.